there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Badger. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What a goal by Matthew!
Townsend right in there. Houghton also making his presence felt. There's his shot. It's a goal for Ireland! And Ray Houghton has made it 1-0. It's a great run by Michael Owen. And he might finish it off. Oh, it's a wonderful goal!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, and he has to.
No.
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin. Will he score the World Cup special series? I'm Chris Gull. World Cup's Josh Widdicombe's here.
Hello.
And the World Cup's Michael Marden's here.
Hello.
And this week we are talking about our favourite strikers. Every episode we're trying to build a bespoke World Cup. We've had midfielders. This week we're focusing on strikers.
By the way, just to be clear, these aren't the best strikers.
Yeah.
These are the strikers that mean the most to us.
Yeah.
But before we get into strikers, let's have a little bit of correspondence.
I'm Jim Rosenthal, and this is the Electronic Postbag.
You've got mail.
Okay, this is from Liam Francis. Now, to tie this to the World Cup, you know when Pickles found the World Cup?
Yeah.
This is called George Graham lost the FA Cup trophy at a pre-season match. Okay, hello all. I'm a recent convert to the show and absolutely love what you do. I've got a good story about an encounter my dad had during the early 90s. My dad, a huge Arsenal fan, as am I, used to work for a company that sponsored the traditional pre-season match between Arsenal and Barnet up at the old Underhill Stadium. After Arsenal won the FA Cup in 1993, the trophy was brought to the match to parade it before kickoff. My dad went up there with a colleague as representatives of the company and were allowed into the players' lounge after the match. I have no way of verifying this information, but my dad swears blind this is what happened. The Barnet chairman, Stan Flashman, what a name, asked George Graham if he could hold the FA Cup trophy. This was allowed, and Stan wandered off to chat to a few Barnet players and the staff. Next thing anyone knows, he's wandered out of the door with the trophy. My dad and his mate followed George Graham and Ken Fryer, running after Flashman, who proceeded to chuck the trophy in the boot of his Rolls Royce, turning to shout that he was taking it home for pictures with his family and would return it the next day.
What?
George and Ken were forced to watch the Rolls Royce disappear out of the car park with the trophy.
Wow. There's an apocryphal story on a West Ham forum a long time ago that in 1975, after West Ham won the FA Cup, Billy Bonds took it home. And a fan was like, live next door to Billy Bonds. And Billy Bonds was in the garden with the FA Cup. And he was like, can I have a picture? He was like, yeah. Billy Bonds jumped over the fence and there's pictures of him in the garden the day after the FA Cup final with the FA Cup.
Amazing. Amazing. Didn't Steven Gerrard sleep with the Champions League trophy in his bed the night after the miracle
at Istanbul? Yeah.
There's a dent in the trophy because Harry Kewell dropped it off a piano in the celebrations after they'd won it in 2005.
Wow. Oh, wow.
He dropped it off a piano.
Who do you reckon was playing the piano?
And have you heard, speaking of trophies, have you heard the Frank Skinner 98 story?
Yeah.
No. That allegedly, David Baddiel and Frank Skinner did a photo shoot with the World Cup for kind of Free Lions 98. And they were left alone with the trophy, the World Cup trophy, momentarily. And Frank Skinner claims to have pulled out his knob and just wiped the top of it on top of the World Cup. So that he says when the World Cup was being won by someone who wasn't England, he would see the captain of the winning team essentially kissing his knob. That is another apocryphal story. If you've got any apocryphal stories,
well, I don't
about...
know if that is apocryphal, because I've heard Frank's going to tell that, so it's true. Yeah. Like...
If you've got any stories about being left alone with trophies or having a moment with a famous trophy, please let us know. hello@quicklykevin.com. That could be a rich vein of stuff.
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list at quicklykevin.com.
Right, who are your favourite World Cup, 90s World Cup strikers?
Right, I'll go first. And my selections so far have been a bit niche, but this
time... But that's what you want.
But this time I'm not going niche for very personal reasons, because I love an African nation at a World Cup.
Yes.
For me, that is the heart and soul, the lifeblood of any World Cup. And you can't look... better than the man who blazed the trails for Africa at World Cups, Roger Miller.
Yes.
Not only that, because many of our listeners, as am I, will now be mid to late 30s, and you may still be grasping on to that hope that one day you yourself could play in a match of any significance. Roger Miller, the oldest goal scorer at a World Cup, was he 38 in Italia 90? He carried Cameroon to that tournament. And then my favourite fact about it as well is that he was actually in international retirement before that World Cup. And the president of Cameroon personally called him to ask him to come out of retirement. Roger Miller answered that call, stole the show, got him to the World Cup, and then had that celebration dancing by the
great
flag.
Our first match in the second phase showed the continuing advance of Cameroon here against Colombia in Naples. No goals in 90 minutes. And then we saw again the razor finishing of Roger Miller with two in extra time. First, a simple pass by number 7, Oman Biyik. Then what looked a simple skip past one defender and a ferocious shot to put Cameroon ahead. To be followed, of course, by that copyright of Miller's, the jig at the corner flag. The 38-year-old's brain, the 25-year-old's legs. Two minutes later, Miller scored again. Higuita in the Colombian goal is a keeper who lives on a knife edge. He's an exhibitionist, a great taker of risks. But it was only a matter of time before he would get his comeuppance. And it happened here. To be fair, the pass he received back was a dangerous one. Miller dispossessed him. Higuita a red face. Miller another goal. And another dance.
They were so exciting. That first game where they beat Argentina. I'd say the bit, my favourite bit is the fouls when Caniggia's going down the ring. He gets fouled about four times before he goes down.
That final
one guy
foul.
Loses a shoe fouling him.
The final, because you know when you stumble as if you're going to fall over
and
you're sort of like waving your arms and then you think, oh, he's going to make it. And just off the camera, you don't see him. This guy runs through and just sideswipes him off. It's one of the worst fouls I've ever seen.
That's got to go down as the greatest opening game ever. They won on top of the fact that they also have players sent off. Great upset. I mean, it's a fun start to the World Cup.
Yeah.
I loved Roger Miller. I'm not so fussed about his work at USA 94.
But he's 42 at
that. I know, but I think like the romantic Roger Miller is 1990.
That's a film script.
Also, the other thing about him was a lot of people think 38 was an underestimation of his age. They think he was one of those players that was lying about his age, and he was actually even older than that.
I think he's actually the inverse of that, and he was the last African player to tell the truth about his age.
Michael?
My choice for a striker is based half on his appearance at the World Cup, France 98, but it's also based on me then buying him on Championship Manager
off
the back of that World Cup and him becoming an absolute superstar in my Parma team that I had. And it's Moldovan.
I think
he scored like three goals at the World Cup. None of them are great goals.
Yeah.
But he just, you know when a player has
this
a sort
is
of
what we want, personal
like,
picks.
Like a presence that you can't put your finger on it, but you watch him.
Was that the peroxide hair World Cup?
Yes. Yeah. But he had something about him that made me go, he's a centre forward I need to lead the line in this Parma team I'm trying to win the Serie A with. But ever since then,
he's just
been
him.
I just loved him, like unfeasibly, in the same way that I love Real Betis. because of a Championship Manager game that I once played and sourced the kit, that kit.
How did Romania do? They beat us, didn't they?
I don't remember where they finished up, actually, in that tournament. I just remember they scored a lot of goals.
Like, yeah, they were 94 quite... was their big one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, a special mention to Florin Radichoyu, who had an unbelievable World Cup, came to West Ham a couple of years later.
Yeah.
I'm still buzzing from the excitement of signing this great striker. Totally rubbish.
Yeah.
Beyond useless.
Hadji finds a little bit of space, and England are in trouble, and this is Moldovan, and Romania are in front. Hadji worked it, Moldovan scored it. Good finish, and a bit of magic from the little maestro.
Do you want mine? I can't believe this one is up for grabs. I think the defining player of Italian 90, Toto Scarlatti. Absolute. Same as Miller, doesn't look like a footballer.
Yeah.
Toto Scarlatti had the World Cup Steve Ball thought he was going to have.
Yes.
There's a sentence that's never been uttered before.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, he came from, like, I know he was at Juventus, but he was, like, not expected to be any good.
Yeah, he was a journeyman.
He looks like, I know Mario is an Italian plumber, but actually Toto Scarlatti looks like what I imagine an Italian plumber looks like.
Actually, it looks like.
He's balding. He looked so excited. He's so wide-eyed.
Yeah.
I don't know what he brought to the table, really. I don't know anything about what he did afterwards. I don't really know anything about what he did before. But I can't remember the last player in a World Cup who came from nowhere like that.
Yeah.
And was that exciting.
Baggio. Scilacci. This is a promising move. It's Donadoni. Good effort. Oh, Scilacci! Goal! Yes! Italy have scored! Again.
Was Toto Scarlatti then in the Italian team for a few games in the lead up to Euro 92?
I think he was sort of exposed a little bit as a journeyman striker that he
Because
he
by
is.
The time Football Italia came along in 1992, I don't remember Toto Scarlatti being anything to do with anything. That's no. 2 years.
Toto Scarlatti's got an interesting Wikipedia article for our after retirement, what he did after the war. There's three facts in his retirement. One, he lives back in his native Palermo, where he owns a youth academy of football. Two, Stephen Pienaar is also nicknamed Shillo after Scilacci.
Right.
I mean, is that even a thing? Third, he appeared as a guest on Craig Doyle Live during Euro 2012. Three facts. What do you want to know about? What have you done in the last 20
what's
years?
Craig Doyle Live?
It's had some Irish comedy chat show.
Amazing.
I mean, the researcher on that.
He must. What a book. If anyone's ever been defined by 1 month their lives, what did he do? How much football did he play after Italian 90?
Well, he was quite. He's about the middle of his career. So he was at Messina. He was playing in. He was playing in Serie B until the year before Italia 90. He played for Juventus that first 89-90. Played 30 games, scored 15 goals, and then he was at Juventus for a couple of more years. Inter for 2 years after that, and then 94 went to Japan.
I don't remember him being at Inter at the start of. I also like the fact he joined Juventus, scored 15 in 30. You wouldn't think that's enough.
No.
To make it to Italia 90 as an unknown striker.
That's the thing about a player that can steal the show at a World Cup is usually they're just having an amazing couple of years and it culminates in this tournament. Like Scarlatti, the 2 years before Italia 90, is he played for Messina in Serie B, 35 games, 23 goals. Right. Then the 89-90, he played 30 games, scored 15 goals, and then essentially did nothing. He never got into double figures again in his career in a season, except when he went to Japan.
So those are your three options. It's Toto Scarlatti, Roger Miller, and Virile? It can't be called Virile. It's a great strike force. I'll be surprised if Moldovan makes the list. You're very much your Sergio Gorka chair. So
you can vote for your favourite. Go on our Twitter right now. There's a poll up, hopefully, and you can pick your favourite striker. Who do you want to see in our dream World Cup?
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list at quicklykevin.com.
To finish the episode, Michael, a brief quiz.
Once again, 90s World Cup based quiz. The winner gets to pick which song plays out the show. So, based on Moldovan and my love of him and that Romanian team, I want you to tell me, to the nearest number, how many goals did the Romanian team score in total at USA 94?
Good question, that.
Now, I watched, you know, in that last episode, a couple of episodes ago, I was discussing that Stoichkov documentary. I watched the sister one on Georgie Hadji. By the way, I can't remember which way it worked out, but one of Hadji and Stoichkov, best man at the other one's wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Great fact.
But Romania, I think they won 1-1, drew one, lost one in the groups, and then won two more games. No, they lost in the quarters. So they played five games, so I'm going to go.
I mean, that's good. That's good knowledge.
But they didn't get to the... I watched this like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But and they also didn't get to the semis, did they? Because no. That was Sweden and someone else.
Yeah, they played five matches.
Five matches. Probably scored 3-1. Did they beat Argentina? Scored 3 in that one. Probably 3-2-2-1 and a 1. So that's 7.
Now... I remember USA 94, someone absolutely hammered Saudi Arabia. I think it might have been 6-0, and it may have been the Romanians. And
I think that might have been the Oleg Selenko match.
That could blow this wide open. So I'm going to go 10.
I think that was Russia that hammered Saudi Arabia, because I think it was when Oleg Selenko scored his 5 goals.
Really?
Well, you've both gone very low.
Really?
Compared to what I think is the correct answer. So I will double check this. But the answer I have, which now seems like it can't be true, so, but the answer I've got is 19.
That's not true.
Hang
An
on.
Average of over almost 4 goals a game.
Hang on, so they got 5 in the group stages. They scored 3, so they got 8 in the round of 16. And they scored 2, 10.
So 10, you got it right.
Yeah, 10.
So 10.
Are they necessarily including penalties? I could be it.
They would have included a penalty shootout.
Possibly penalty shootout,
yeah,
but either way.
They're gonna, but yeah.
Either way, Chris is the winner.
Oh, you're dominating this World Cup quiz.
I'm going to go with Romania's national anthem. Let's all enjoy it. Right, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in a few days for a brand new episode featuring some other aspect of our dream World Cup. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Hit legs! Hit legs over the top! Back now!